On the fly at the Fun Fly Zone, south end of EAA Air Venture 2026, with Tim Bogenhagen from the EAA, who is the liaison down here. I finally found a term I can use to describe you.
Which is?
Liaison.
Liaison. That's a hard word to spell. Every time I try and write that word, I always spell it wrong.
Is that why you call yourself the community director or something?
Yeah, right. Okay. Sure, we'll go with that.
Okay. So it's a special year. We've been talking about the 50th anniversary of Ultralights at Oshkosh, specifically, not of Ultralights, but at Oshkosh.
At Oshkosh.
And thanks to John Moody, who we just interviewed. 1976, he flew that Oshkosh. Ultralight here at Oshkosh. Now we're going to talk to MULA, right? Which stands for?
The Michigan Ultralight Association Flying Club. A great group of people that have built a real community over in Michigan around flying, having fun, all about ultralights, though, like low mass, high drag. So they operate a two-place N-numbered aircraft, because there are no two-place ultralights, so it's N-numbered aircraft. They use it to train people that come into their club. And then there's also a single-seat Quicksilver that the club has that club members can use to rent to fly. So it's a great arrangement. But getting back to the Icarus, because I think that's what we want to talk about here. And what MULA did is a tremendous thing, because John Moody's Icarus was actually kept by John over all of these 50 years. Last year I was talking to him, and I said, we should really preserve your Icarus. And he's like, yeah, somebody might come along and buy it, though. I really want to hold out because somebody might buy it from me. And I think he realized that probably nobody wants to buy it, but so he's going to donate it to EAA. So I'm like, okay, well, you're going to donate it to EAA, but it needs to be restored. So the first question is, who could do that? So I reached out to Rick Hayes with the MULA and said, hey, Rick, John's going to donate his Icarus. It's down in Florida. When you guys go down there for sun and fun, could you bring it back? And in the course of that conversation, you're like, hey, Tim, who's going to restore it? And what did you say?
Well, I said, yeah, can we restore it? You consider that. And Tim said.
I said, yes, you bet you can.
Yeah, what an honor it was to have that in our club and have our members be part of rebuilding, part of history. I mean, we had a great crew and dedicated to what we're doing and making sure it was as exact the way it was back in 1976. So we had a great time over the last year and a half rebuilding it. And we're relieved we got it here back to Oshkosh in one piece. That was the main thing. If we get it in a tent over here or set it in the museum at the end of the show, we've done what we needed to do and it's out of our hands.
And your whole group of volunteers just did a fantastic job. And the restoration, the quality you did is just very good. And, you know, we had several conversations like, should we restore it so we fly it, or should we restore it not? And, you know, should we do some, like, a different engine? Or because John had several different engines on the Icarus over the years. And we wound up saying, no, let's have the Icarus in the same configuration that it was when it flew in Oshkosh 1976.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure the rudders were in good condition with numbers on it. So them are still original fabric on them. And we had a great crew. I'm going to pass this on to Don Niles, the president of MULA, and he can go on with telling you the story, what happened.
Thanks, Rick. Well, yeah, my name's Don Niles, the president of the Michigan Ultralight Association. It's been a great honor to be able to put our hands on such a important piece of history. I can't describe in words the honor that it's been to be involved with this project. We've had a great core of volunteers that step forward with their skills, whether it's fabric covering, carpentry, covering the rib strips, just putting it all together as a group. It's been a great, fun project that will be hung in the EAA Museum.
So, yeah, I mean, restoring a plane, even a simple one like a Icarus, is never easy, though. Like, explain some of maybe the challenging things that you guys faced.
Well, the we had never done the fabric covering before, so that took a little bit of practice and expertise to get it to where we thought it was acceptable. And we just put it back as original as we could get it.
So just a quick question. Was John Moody available to help you with advice? And because he built it originally from the kit. So was he able to tell you, well, this is where I got the fabric, this is where I got the this and that?
Yeah, yeah. John was a wealth of information. If we had any questions, we could reach out to him, and he could remember bolt size, how things went together from assembling
it. He's got a great memory of the way it went together, and I know you guys were FaceTiming back and forth when you were building it. And what's the deal with that fabric? Because I know he had the fabric. We got the fabric from him. What was that?
Well, the fabric was dress lining fabric, is my understanding, and John had bought a bolt of it that he was going to recover his original design. So luckily he had enough material from the original design that was used for that. So what's on the Icarus today was the fabric that was used originally when it was built. It's just fresh fabric, but it's the same exact material. So, and we did our best to keep everything 100% as it was, which was really cool.
Yeah. How did you test the fabric to know if you put enough coating on it?
We just did enough coating. We just finger touch it. I'll pass this on to Bill. Bill has a better answer for that.
Bill Darnell.
Thanks, Don. How did we test the fabric?
I know John did a suck test. He said he put his lips up on it. If he could suck air through the fabric, he didn't have enough coating on it.
And Rick did that several times as well. We'd spray it and do the blow or suck test, and finally got it to where it didn't pass nearly as much air, and we called her good at that point.
Yeah, I know you were part of the crew that actually recovered it from Florida and brought it back up north, didn't you?
Yes.
So you got a chance to meet John and his wife and get it right from John's house.
Oh, yeah, that was great. It was an honor, and we had just a ton of fun. The airplane had been stuffed up in the rafters of his garage for years.
Yeah.
And the birds had gotten in there, and the plane had been damaged at one point. One of the wing tips had been broken off about 4 foot of the wing. So we had to repair that, and like I say, the birds had gotten in there, and the fabric was in terrible, terrible shape. Yeah. With the exception of the rudders, as Don mentioned, we were able to salvage the rudders, but recovered everything else. Also, the wing ribs were, most of them had delaminated, and we had one of our members, Todd Baker, standing with us here today. Todd rebuilt most, if not all, the ribs. Just as they were originally, though. It's a super thin little strip of wood on top of pink dowel foam. And that's all there is to the ribs. So,
what kind of glue did you use on that, Todd?
We used a local epoxy. Originally, he used a Weldwood glue that was a powder. And the powder you would mix with water, and then you would apply it to both surfaces. And it had crystallized by the time I got to it. So I scraped all that off. And I tried to restore a few of the ribs, and I didn't really have a form. I thought the ribs would just go back together the way they should. So I put epoxy on it, put some tape on it, and I discovered that 3 or 4 ribs in, they were all different. So I had to start from scratch with new styrofoam and the original cap strips and built a new set of ribs for it. But,
it is really interesting to think of gluing the wood plywood cap strip, both the top and the bottom surface, to the foam, which is the center portion of the rib.
Right. But super light. I mean, each wing probably weighs 10 pounds.
Yeah. Very intricate work, though, right? I know the later evolution of that design was the Easy Riser, and that became an all-aluminum stamped rib.
Right.
Which was
completely
so easy. Yeah.
If you damaged it. John was telling me if you ran into something with the leading edge of the original one, the cap strips would pop off, and then you had to somehow cut into it and repair them. Mm-hmm. And I saw that he had strips of wood on the sides where he had repaired a few. Mm. And I tried to restore those as well as we could. So it's still in the plane.
Why don't you talk about the engine and propeller combination that we finally found for this?
Well, I saw John fly in northern Michigan on the sand dunes along Lake Michigan. And I saw him attempt to fly. He got it all together. He put it on a 5-gallon bucket, and he fired the thing up. And it ran pretty good, and he got a hold of it, and he started to run with it. And he would pick up his feet, and he'd almost get in the air and then back on the sand. Almost get in the air and back on the sand. And I thought to myself, well, it's a cool idea, but it's probably not going to work. Well, the next morning, I'm down along the shore of the beach, and I could hear this noise coming from over the top of the dune. And sure enough, from over the top of the dune comes Ned's Yummy Yummy Pizza written across the bottom of the wings. I was absolutely stunned. Yeah. He was up about 500 feet, made a few passes back and forth along the beach, came in and landed on the beach.
How long after that did you put an engine on your glider?
I was quick to think about it as soon as I got home. I talked to my dad. We got a little Chrysler 820 engine, built a reduction unit, and I put a power plant on my Icarus 5, which was the next generation. And it worked half as good as his.
Tim, this is an awesome story. Very cool stuff.
Isn't it?
Hey, guys, thanks so much for joining us today and talking about this restoration. It's just amazing. And the fact that it's going to hang in the museum, and you guys, every year you come up here, you're going to be able to go look at it. That's really cool, right?
Yeah, thank you so much for all the Moolah did.
Yeah, and restoring. Thank you for the EAA for letting us have the honor of restoring John Moody's plane.
That's awesome. All right, Jay Munchie, we're on the fly down here at the Fun Fly Zone, and we've got more to come. Stick around. You're listening to EA Radio.